Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We love to talk about books on this program, and we love to have Daniel Goldwyn with us. He is, of course, from Boswell Books on Downer in Milwaukee, and he's just returned. He's got all kinds of author events this week. He just got back from the Book Expo in New York City on Sunday. He's a guy who's reading books. He brought tons of books here, and we're going to talk books during the course of this hour. And some of the wonderful authors who are coming to Boswell, and also the books that everybody was talking about in New York City at that Book Expo. Summer reading, New York Times had, hold on, we're going to get my copy. A copy, for those of you who get it, they also did summer reading and had some interesting articles from authors about what they read when they were young, their favorite summer reading experiences. So we'll ask you, what are you planning on reading this summer? Do you read a different kind of book? Would you like suggestions for summer reading? Our phone number as we speak with Daniel is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@WPR.org, and our Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Daniel has all kinds of authors coming to Milwaukee during the month of June. We'll talk about some of those. And thank you, Daniel, once again for being with us. I just love the fact that you bring all of these authors into this community, and they're terrific authors. And I don't know how you do all of this, sir, but thank you for it.
You're welcome. I'm not exactly sure how I do it either. But it's just a lot of momentum, and you just want to I think it's really important to Milwaukee. Not all of our events are free, but a whole mess of them are free. And, so there's a mission involved. And, of course, I want to get people in the store. But we do events all over the place at libraries and museums. And we're doing an event. We were talking about summer reading, and one of the books we're really excited about that just came out in paperback is The Art Forger by B.A. Shapiro. It's a thriller based on the Isabel Stuart Gardner heist from, I think that's 20 years ago now. Mm-hmm. So one of my booksellers, Nick, really loved the book. We got the opportunity to host the event, and we said, well, we could do this in the store, and we actually booked it in the store. And I'm like, this would be really interesting to do. What's an Isabella Stuart Gardner place in Milwaukee? And we went to the Charles Alice Museum and asked if they would do the event with us. And so we're doing it there. So another private home that, was donated and has the works as well as rotating works.
It's
cool.
Just good. You have this creative mind, and it's good to go outside what people normally do. So the Book Expo in New York City, who comes to that? What was everybody talking about?
I've been going for 29 years.
Oh, my gosh. You look like a kid. People would look at you and say, 29 years.
Liar. This was my 28th. The two that I've missed are the two times that I transitioned jobs. So the year I started working at Schwartz in 1986, because I worked in publishing for a few years before that, and then the year that Schwartz transitioned to Boswell in 2009. But otherwise, I haven't missed it. It's changed a lot. It's certainly not the size it was, because there are a whole bunch of things you used to need to do at a show that you don't really need to do at a show anymore. The communication's very different. Social networking's very different. Right sales are different. But it is still a combination of there is a bookseller component, though we're not completely at the center of it anymore. There's certainly positioning fall books to the public, having the media kind of take an interest in it. There's a lot of write sales still that go on. There's a lot of foreign groups that come in. Mm-hmm. There's certainly all kinds of mass merchants. There's book fairs putting together their proposals. There is still a lot of that accidental meeting of, say, an independent publicist and an independent author, and there's a blogger conference, there's technology conferences. I saw several of my Milwaukee bloggers at the show, and they were telling me a party they went to that had nothing to do with us at all. It was a blogger party. we have food bloggers. The most active group we have are teen bloggers. Write about the young adult and teen novels.
Really?
So, it's very, very interesting, and it's actually a really important part of trying to make an event working with teen authors, because the general media doesn't really support teen books that much unless it's a phenomenon like Hunger Games, because they don't think the audience is there to read about them, even though the the bloody truth about teen books is that the audience, especially for the events, but even for the reading, it goes into the 20s and 30s, especially with women, the women-centered teen novels. So the one we're working on is a book called The Test by Joelle Charbonneau. She's also a mystery writer, and she has this Hunger Games-like concept, but it's different. And my kids' bookseller, Hannah, said it was terrific. And there's, of course, this test that you take. And it determines your fate, and if you do well, something happens to you. If you do badly, something happens to you. And like a lot of books, I love. For some reason, I notice this a lot with kids' books. Like the author looks at a modern day problem, like the overuse of testing, and then turns it into this apocalyptic novel, like because it takes a dilemma and it goes to the extreme. I thought that was really cool. She's coming
Very
on.
Interesting.
She's coming, I think, July 8th, and we're really looking forward to that because it's a new series, and so I couldn't really do it at libraries because where we do a lot of our teen books because they have no record of they don't have any record of people taking her out. She's a brand new author. We don't expect that much, but we love the book, and so we want to get behind it.
Called The Test.
The Test.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds fascinating.
So it's cool. It is interesting.
So do people get together, all of you who own indie bookstores and people who write books, do you get together and have coffee and talk about any certain books that are all the rage that you just absolutely love?
Constantly. Everywhere we go, I'm in meetings. I'm in a Booksellers Advisory Council. That's meetings. I'm in meetings with publishers, and we're all talking about what we're reading. I go to lunches and parties, and really, that's all. They're telling you about a book. They're introducing you to an author. They're trying to pitch an author. But at the same time, the thing that we have in common is that we all read like crazy. And of course, I'm very curious about what people are reading, so I'm constantly asking them, taking notes. What am I going to say on Wisconsin Public Radio later on? So one of the things that we had mentioned was, interestingly enough, the book, I think the novel that everybody was crazy for, even though they were trying to position all their books for fall, they had been reading a book that just came out too. It's called The Son by Philip Meyer. It is a three-generation epic Texas novel with modern elements, so it's the quotes, and of course we don't know whether the authors really they sign off on these quotes. Some people are very passionate about the books, we don't know, but the positioning of the authors really says something to what the publisher thinks the book is like. So you have a Richard Ford, very high end, Charles Frazier, Cold Mountain, epic Civil War kind of cross between people who like history books and people who like literature. But you see Taya Obrecht, which has she had Tiger's Wife, which was a little more creative structurally, also won a lot of awards. But then you see Chris Cleave, who's a little more, slightly more emotional and commercial. Mm. So the first thing that we had, well, of course, my buyer, Jason, loved the book. He'd been talking about it a lot. I funnel all the quotes to get out to the reps and things like that. And
right.
So I always – plus I want to know what people are reading.
Right.
But also when Kate Atkinson came for Life After Life, she went on about it. And when I was talking to another bookseller, she said to me, did Kate Atkinson talk for a really long time about The Son by Philip Meyer? I was like, in fact, she did. Did you have any copies available? I'm like, no, it was at the public market. I had no copies available. Because that's a really important thing. I would have sold them. We just had David Sedaris.
Yes,
and
you did.
Oh, so much fun.
Was it?
Yes.
He's a funny man and thoughtful man.
He is obsessed with stickers now, kid stickers. So all his signings, he spent so
stickers.
Much time with every
Aww.
Person. And he has a whole bunch of books of stickers. And he kind of comes up with a story that has sticker puns in it. He at one point he turned to a bookseller. He's like, I need to buy some more sticker books. Bring over your sticker books. So that was really fun. And when he does his theater shows, he's at the Pabst on November 1st. We're not the bookseller of record but we still want everybody to go because he's amazing. He always has a book that he's really excited about because he's a passionate reader, passionate. But he doesn't do that in these hardcover stores because he's worried about people being able to buy his book plus the other book.
Right.
But what the heck? He saw that we had a book called The Book of My Lies by Alexander Heman. It's an essay collection that I loved. About this he's a Bosnian Ukrainian who lived in Sarajevo growing up, and then when the war happened he was actually in the United States and got left out out of this country. He wound up resettling in Chicago, and he's been in The New Yorker. He's just all these marvelous essays about everything from chess to soccer to the death of his child. School gangs. But the whole story together, even though each essay is about a completely different thing, becomes a memoir. Sedaris looked at the – and he's also funny, which Sedaris always loves. And he looked at the book. He saw we had six of them. He's like, I'm going to pick this book. And so he just ran up and gave this speech about how great the book was.
You better tell us what that book is again.
It's The Book of My Lives by Alexander Hemin. It is David Sedaris' current pick.
Okay. So, and we should have Alexander on. It sounds like it's right up our alley,
he's
too.
He's wonderful. He's written only fiction in the past. But now that he's writing nonfiction, he's in your sweet spot.
Yes, he is. Yeah, you got us paid. You have all kinds of wonderful authors. Let's talk about some of them coming up. The Mary Tyler Moore Show, that was in the New York Times Book Review summer reading as well. Jennifer Armstrong is coming in on the history, the oral history. Is that today?
It is today.
Oh, my gosh, it's today. It's June 4th. This show's getting a lot of attention. This should be fun.
Oh, I'm so – I loved the book.
You did.
Devoured it. I actually read the book completely independently of having the author. I just said, you know, every so often you see a book and you just drop everything and read. I'll tell you about another one in a second where I did that. And so I, you know, devoured it. And I said, I can help this book. I'm going to write a quote to send to, you know, because we vote for these Indie Next things. The Sun was the number one. You know, it's a little competitive, of course. But I just want to get the votes in for the books that I like. So I wrote the quote. It went to the publisher. It zinged up to it went to the agent. It went to California. It went to New Mexico. It probably went to New Zealand. It got to the author. And she wrote back and said, oh, I have family in Chicago. I can come up. So, that's how that happened. It was very just a nice little coincidence because I thought, I think I can. And she has another book called Sexy Feminism that she co-wrote, and my bookseller Mel really loved that. And so it was, you know, we're excited to hear. She's got tons of gossip, and it's so interesting how the story came together beforehand. I mean, I read an AV Club review that said it glosses a little over the later seasons, but I find that everything does that. I read a lot of music biographies, and there's a lot.
I like those too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a lot about before and the breakout. And after the breakout, unless you have a very, very, very unique trajectory, it winds up sounding a little too similar. So people don't focus on it as much.
And she was originally going to be assistant to a gossip columnist? That never would have flown, right?
Well, it wouldn't have been the groundbreaking show that it is. It was also, I think, going to be in L.A., not in Minneapolis. These things, you know, there was this spate of Midwestern sitcoms in the 70s from Bob Newhart, which is also an MTM show. And he was from Chicago, so that made sense. Happy Days wound up in Milwaukee. That's not an MTM show, but because one of the writers was from Milwaukee. But in terms of Mary Tyler Moore, that, you know, she didn't really have any more Minneapolis connections. It just happened, and more the better for it.
That's today. All right,
it is. It is. So the other book that people were talking about is actually not out yet, but it's a really juicy read. It's a book called Hot House. It's by a man named Boris Kasha, and the reason I mention it is because it was the nonfiction book that everybody had read.
Really,
and nobody was promoting it. Because it's the history of Farrar Straus Giroux, the publisher. And they're like, nobody's going to buy this book. And so I'm talking to one person. And I know this is industry, and I know we're really insular. But every bookseller had read it. Every industry person had read it. And there's a lot of different ways to love the book. It's a wonderful story if you like books. It's the story, you know, of Farrar Straus, the authors are amazing behind it. Tom Wolfe, Jonathan Franzen. Before that, Bernard Malamud and, you know, a lot of the South American writers. And so there's all the stories about how these authors came to be. Farrar Straus was an independent house for a long time, and they nurtured their authors. So they kept them in a different way than a lot of publishers can do now. They stuck by them through thick and thin. They paid them nothing, but they stuck by them. They didn't drop them. And then eventually they would break out, like Susan Sontag, who had just nothing, 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 then on photography. Mm-hmm. But it's also a story about small business, because the story, the problem was, how was it, was a partnership of three very different people. So there was very interesting power plays through the whole life of the company. And then but there's also a son of the guy who sort of won the power plays. And was that company going to pass from Roger Strauss II to Roger Strauss III? And this is a problem that plays out over independent businesses of all kinds, publishers, bookstores, everything. And I saw so many other stories that I knew in this, and it was so interesting to see the details. Plus, it's incredibly gossipy. There's lots of dirty dishing. Not my favorite part, but I know that I would see other people – yeah, Hot House. I'd see other people – kind of grinning with delight over that.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with a little gossip. You mentioned Thomas Wolfe, and this is a book that I've always meant to read and I never have, and I'm wondering if you think I should for summer reading. You mentioned Thomas Wolfe.
Oh, yes.
Look Homeward, Angel. Should I read it?
Oh, I meant Tom Wolfe, of course, but you should read Tom Wolfe.
Tom Wolfe.
Yes, Tom Wolfe. Look Homeward, Angel is Thomas Wolfe. That's the Little Brown – that's Little Brown editor. So older. Tom Wolfe is right stuff and things like that. So – I'm sure I said it wrong.
No, I probably heard it wrong because I was thinking of Look Homeward, Angel. So it's Thomas Wolfe. Should I read – at any rate, the question is –
this is
I
a great transition.
Should I read Look Homeward, Angel?
I vote yes. I vote everyone who's listening should read Look Homeward, Angel, because it's a huge hole in a lot of people's literary knowledge base. And I'm writing this down that I am going to read.
You're
going to
read it
Angel.
Too?
Yes.
All right, we'll compare notes. We should have a book club.
We will talk
on that
in the
one.
Fall.
Let's do that. Let's talk in the fall. Daniel and I will read it, and we recommend that you read it too, and we'll talk about it. And in terms of Tom Wolfe, I like Tom Wolfe too. Tom Wolfe is good summer reading, I think.
Oh, yeah. He's got a lot.
He's a page turner.
He's delicious.
Yes, he is delicious. I like that. He is delicious. We need to invite the audience to join this conversation. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Daniel Golden is with us. Just returned from the Book Expo in New York City, where everybody was talking about certain books. And that's interesting how that happens. Everybody's read certain things and deem them classics, the best out right now, right off the bat. And we're talking about all kinds of books that you may want to read this summer. He knows all genres. He knows books for young people. He knows teen books. He knows good summer reading books, classics. We are going to read Look Homeward, Angel, and we'll talk about it in September. We have a show idea already. Join us, huh? Here's the number, 800-486-8655. All our lines are open. I'm amazed, so fill them up and let's talk. Email talk at WPR.org. Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Joining us tomorrow, speaking of books, Olympia Snow will be joining us. She was in Congress, in the Senate, in the House for some 40 years. And you'll recall that in February of 2012, she announced that she would not run for re-election. Her book explains why. Fighting for Common Ground is the book, How We Can Fix the Stalemate in Congress. She will be with us tomorrow during this time period. Our phone number, we have a lot of emails, but no calls yet for Daniel, so please feel free to join our conversation. Daniel Golden is our guest. He is the owner of Boswell Books, and he is an extraordinarily wonderful book guy who's been recognized nationally for his knowledge and his great enthusiasm, which you just gotta love, don't you? Let's go to a couple of emails. Jamie writes, Daniel, I loved Gone Girl and all the rest of Gillian Flynn's books. I read them all in a month, and with my schedule, that's quite a feat. Can your guest please recommend some authors in this vein?
I can.
Oh, good.
The first one I'm going to recommend is The Dinner by Herman Koch. It was also a bestseller. It's a cross between Gone Girl and Ian McEwan's Amsterdam, of all things. So it is one dinner in Amsterdam, two brothers and their wives, I believe, and their sons have done some terribly unspeakable act, and it is one of those things where over the course the dinner gets worse and worse and worse, revelation after revelation. Stacy, our bookseller, one of our booksellers who loved Gone Girl, loved it. There's certainly been a lot of enthusiasm among booksellers and many media and all sorts of things. The other book I was going to recommend right away is one that I actually had lunch with an agent. And it was one of these things where we had been chatting back and forth. He actually is Julia Pandel, the local writer who wrote a wonderful memoir, Memoir of the Sunday Brunch.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And another book by Michael Ennis that we really liked, a historical thriller. He does all sorts of kids' books. He's the agent behind a really hot another book, a novel that was at the show that everybody was talking about, Burial Rites by Hannah Kent, which takes place in Iceland of all places, but it's part of the mini Australian invasion. I don't know what that's about, but I'm reading all these Australian novels. But the point is, those are not the books that person's supposed to read. The book that I'm just making asides. The book the person is really supposed to read is The Other Typist. And I'd heard a bunch of things about it, but nobody actually sat down with me and said, this is the book and this is why you have to read it. And it is set in the 1920s. The author's name is Suzanne Rindell. She's a completely unreliable narrator. And I was talking to Dan, he's summer reading 12 months of the year. I mean, that's what he likes. Commercial, a little upmarket, exciting, emotional. And it's an Amy Einhorn book. She's the woman who did The Help and a few other things. So she's just a super smart editor. And it's got the Gone Girl thing, but there's another trend going on, which is 20s and 30s fiction, especially in New York. Mm. So we've had a whole bunch of books out. There's a wonderful book called The Chaperone by Laura Moriarty, who this person should not read, but it is this. But I'm very excited about it. It's a novelization about a woman who was with Louise Brooks when Louise Brooks went to Wichita, New York. So it's more a little different of a book. But there is this whole 20s, 30s New York thing going on. I'm just seeing a lot of Edith Wharton-esque kind of novels. And that's fun, right?
It is fun. Yeah. It is fun.
So Other Typist, The Dinner, if you get through those, get back to us.
All right. Thank you, Daniel. 800-486-8655 is our number. Karen is our first caller in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
So fun to be on the show. I just went to an author reading last night in Chippewa Falls of a new book that was released, and I had read the author's first book. Her name is Melissa F. Olson, and her first book was Dead Spots, and it's not a genre I would normally read, but somebody suggested it. The main character is a null, and she, when she is in the proximity of vampires and werewolves, she negates their power. And so just all the problems that occur from, you know, them not having their usual vampire and werewolf powers. It's an urban fantasy. It takes place in Los Angeles, but I thought the way the author wrote it, it's fun and it's kind of light. It's not a dark kind of thing. And so I bought the second book, and I'm going to read that. It just came out today. Well, at midnight, I guess.
Maybe 12:30.
Yes, at 12:30.
I know that book, and I know that author.
Do you really?
We do. We had an event with her as well for the first book. And my bookseller, Mel, who's officially assigned to all urban fantasy, I guess, read it and enjoyed it as well. Or was it Hannah? But in any case, I did have a nice rec on it. And it's nice to know the second book is out. And very nice to always support Wisconsin writers. So.
All right, Karen, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
I noticed coming to the store, let's just talk a little bit about the Great Gatsby craze. I didn't see the movie, and I probably won't see the movie, but we had this incredibly spirited disagreement in our household as to whether or not The Great Gatsby was a great American novel, if we should care about these people or we should not care about these people. I know you have The Doomed Love of F. Scott and Zelda Fitzgerald author coming.
Beautiful Fools. And,
Beautiful Fools.
He was he has a nice connection to the state, as he was a professor at Marquette for about 15 years. It is a novel, but it's a very well-researched about their last chance at reconciliation on a trip to Mexico, I believe. My bookseller, Jane Glazer, who loves books spun out of classics. Loves them, loves them. She's our Jane Austen Society member. Mm. But she likes – she's, you know, she's Country of the Pointed Furs and all different kinds of classics. And it's fun. You could really just read fiction that's based on classics. And she said that this was a terrific book and compared it very favorably with Z, which is the one, the Zelda Fitzgerald book
right.
that did kind of pop on the bestseller list, which is the subgenre of – wife of famous writer or artist or architect genre. So there's the Nancy Horan's book on Loving Frank, and then there's The Paris Wife, which is the most famous, Hemingway's wife, Pauline McLean. And she thought it was terrific. And there's a lot of meat in it, you know, and he just does a good job. He's at the lives in Chicago, but he just got a fellowship at the Iowa Writers' Workshop. So we're really excited about that. And I put it in – he was like, oh, if he'd only done a nonfiction version, then he would have been in my category, authors that could be on the Kathleen Dunn Show because I have a couple that I've been pretty excited about. One is Monty Real's Between Man and Beast. He's coming next Tuesday, the 11th. He had a front page Times book review. And my bookseller, Nick, loved the book. It's about this explorer, Paul, I can't pronounce his name, Duchelu, who went to Africa and brought back a gorilla. And he brought it right into Darwin's evolutionary debate in England and caused this uproar. He's got a Candace Millard quote, who's a wonderful writer.
Oh, I love Candace Millard.
I know
yeah.
you do.
Yeah.
And so that's why I mentioned it.
Thank you.
And got a really great quote from David Quammen. So it's really also a book that's for science geeks, which we specialize in those.
We should do an interview. When is that, next week?
He's next Tuesday, Monty Real, but he's good for any time.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
But I think he's going to be – I will come back to you and say – he's really great. Or I'll give you my little – because I don't ever want to say anything bad, but if I think he's particularly good, I'll remind you. The other author that I know is really great is Denise Kiernan, the author of The Girls of Atomic City. She did this massive research on all the people who worked at Oak Ridge in the nuclear – developing the bomb. It's a really fascinating story. You can go on YouTube or the Simon & Schuster site or our site, my blog today, and listen to an interview with tidbits about all the crazy things that were going on, how these people just didn't know what they were doing, the massive, the terrible racism that was going on at the same time. It's just – I'm so excited. And she's coming. People are always complaining that her events are at night. I don't drive at night. I, you know, and just have some daytime events. And so this is this Saturday, June – would that be June 8th at 2 p.m.? And
wonderful.
So all those people
at the store. Great.
Yeah, at the store. Great. It's going to be terrific. She's terrific.
Yeah. Good. And Jim Gaffigan. My son loves Jim Gaffigan. We're going to come to that event. Dad is fat. Your Father's Day. He thinks he's very funny. I think he's quite funny too, actually.
I really enjoyed the book. I have known many a person. He's has five kids. He lives in a two-bedroom apartment in New York.
My.
I don't really think he quite foresaw that so quickly. I'm not really telling tales out of school. He considers his wife quite fertile. And it's a very funny book. And it's a completely free event. One of the things we're really grateful for is he traditionally does theater events at the Pabst. He's always the New Year's Eve guest.
Yes.
And December 30th as well. Those are ticketed events. And sometimes theaters say there's a ticketed event. You can't do a free event.
Uh-huh.
But they did ask that it be free. And it's Saturday night, June 15th. It's the day before Father's Day. The book is all about being a father. It's a free event. It'll be just like the Sedaris in that there's no holdsies. As I say, you know, once you're in, you're in. You don't have to buy the book. Of course, we would love if you bought the book, but you can bring your book from home. And it's going to be as fun
good.
As your father, as your son, as son
it's
as
it.
Your son has said it will be.
It will be fun. Good. That'll be fun.
And
we'll be there.
Okay.
Good. Karen, thanks for the call. Let's go to Charlie in Milwaukee. Hi, Charlie.
Hi. Love your show. I just wanted to make a quick question, and that is, I noticed that when I used one of my favorite books is The World According to Garp. It was a type of book that I could get on the couch and read for extended periods of time. And yet when I do the new internet reading, like with the Nook or whatever, I seem to be fidgeting and less able to sit there for prolonged periods of time reading like I do with a normal book. Are there any writers, do you think, are changing their styles for the new internet type craze or whatever, or do you think the styles aren't affected?
No. Well, it depends. I think there'll be people who write just the way they always did. But there are other, you know, because there are a zillion writers, there are certainly going to be writers who adapt. There's writers kind of incorporating links into their books. There's definitely a move towards shorter chapters in some of the, especially some of the commercial fiction, because of that fidget angle. I wanted to ask you, are you on a dedicated e-reader or are you reading on a tablet?
Charlie?
I will answer the question both ways.
Charlie.
Well, I
you're in rare form today, Daniel.
I haven't slept much in the last week.
It's okay. I'm loving it. Go right ahead.
Because some people feel that when you read on, especially on a tablet, everybody's pushing to read towards tablets. But tablets have a lot of distractions on them. I believe a dedicated e-reader is somewhat closer to the book experience. But there's scientific, you know, there's been research to show that we read on paper differently than we read on screen, even with a dedicated reader. I mean, there is that distraction of you're holding a whole bunch of books in your hand, not just one book. Mm-hmm. It's a much more of a pain in the neck to go back to the shelf and switch out. So you have this tendency to be thinking in the back of my head, I could be reading that book, or I could be reading that book. But there's all kinds of, you know, I have customers that go back and forth. I have customers, believe it or not, I have customers who never read anything but ebooks, but we do sell the Kobo, so some people buy through that, and some people just buy greeting cards or toys or whatever from us, or some people just come in and hang out. And then we have, you know, we have plenty of people who are not going to move to ebooks in the foreseeable future at all. What's interesting coming back from the show is everybody's talking about how there's some plateauing right now of the devices, that the sale. In other words, the increases were very fast. The increases are slowing down. As you know, Barnes & Noble is having – and I'm not telling tales or anything like this. Barnes & Noble has had some problems with sales of their Nook device, but their sales in the store are actually pretty solid. So they, you know, they're playing with spinoffs and that kind of thing. It's a tricky thing because we all know about technology that we – overestimate its impact in the short term and underestimate its impact in the long term. So what's going to happen in 10, 20 years? I got no clue.
Yeah.
But for the next – for the short foreseeable future, it seems to be plateauing. The publishers seem to have a way to make it work with this dual format, or it's multiple formats. But you are correct. There are – I wish I could point to three or four books that are playing with the ebook format and making it – more interactive. There's definitely kids' books doing it. There's actually a wonderful entrepreneur artist, Stacey Williams Ng. She's in the Milwaukee suburbs, and she actually develops kids' book apps for iPad. She's terrific.
Thank you so much, Charlie, for the call. Let's go to Lucas in Madison. Hi, Lucas.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And, I was looking for a couple of recommendations. I typically don't have that much time to read, but when I do, I enjoy it. And right now I have too much time. My wife and two small kids are gone on vacation out of the country for a couple months now, so I have lots of time to kill. And wondering what you would recommend. I kind of like to find a new author that would I could read some stories that, you know, would be comforting or uplifting, something they have to do with family.
Could you tell me like one or two like things you've read? This is just like you being in the bookstore, because the first thing I would do is say, a couple of ideas of the bathroom's over there and the coffee. Like a couple of things you've read in the past that really capture what you would be looking for.
Well, see, I'm looking for something kind of new. This last year, most of my book consumption has been on CD in the car on the way to work and back.
Well, what's a book that you said? Go on.
This last year, I listened to Breathe, and then I got on a Ayn Rand hitch and listened to The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged.
Okay.
That kind of tied up a few months.
Yes, and I can't think of – I should really come up with, what should you read after you read Ayn Rand? Because who are all the famous objectivist authors out there? And what I find is that the people I know and friends in the past who read Ayn Rand, they just read her over and over again. They don't want to read anybody else. So I applaud you of getting engaged in it and then saying, I'm still going to read something else. I'm trying to think. I'm excited about a few. Shockingly enough, I'm excited about a few books out there. And I think David Rhodes might be a family, you know, it's set in the Driftless area. His new book's Jewelweed. His last book was Driftless. They're multi-character books. They have very strong, wonderful, warm elements, but they can be a little dark too. It is the kind of book that when Driftless was out and now with Jewelweed, one customer after another would come back to us and say, I love, 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 love this book. And one of the other things that's really great about David Rhodes is, yes, he's going to be at Boswell on Thursday, June 6th at 7 p.m. But he does events all around the state. He's a Wisconsin writer. And so you could probably one day see him as well.
A lot of people really love Driftless. And I have read, I think maybe what you said, that some of the people who you know love books will have said that his latest book may be equal to, if not better, than Driftless.
Yes, it's the same. Somebody said it's the same characters. I'm like, well, there has to be one that's missing. But not to give anything away. I have two reads on the book in the store, and one of them said better than Driftless.
Really?
The other one hadn't read Driftless.
Yeah.
So we don't know. There's a nonfiction book that I really like that's coming out next Tuesday with a lot of local ties. It's Queen of the Air, a true story of love and tragedy at the circus by Dean Jensen. Mm. It is about two trapeze artists and a doomed love affair. But I did hear that. And it's just so much fun. It's the history of the circus. It's when the circus was the center of entertainment, not, you know, pre-television, pre-movies, pre-vaudeville even. A little overlap with vaudeville. Certainly pre-internet. And these people were the most, you know, they were everything. And, of course, we'd hear about their news in 3 weeks from a newspaper or something like that. But this was Lietzel and one of the Flying Cadonas who had this, you know, love from afar, got together. Of course, it didn't work out. Tragedy, 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 tragedy. Lots of meat. Dean Jensen was the old arts editor for The Sentinel and has the Dean Jensen Gallery.
Yes, right.
And his event, I think, is, let's see if I can do this right, June, I think it's 13th at 7, so at the store. And I think he's also a local writer, so I bet he'll be doing some events in other cities as well. I would hope so, because I think he'll be really great. I'm trying to think inspirational, small inspirational. Do you mean like Tuesdays with Maury, Five People You Meet in Heaven? Have you read those books?
No, I haven't.
There you go.
I think those are books that are sort of very emotional, heart-tugging, really have really connected with a lot of people. If you want to go a little more quirky, there's a book called The Uncommon Reader that I really love, especially if you like books. It's The Queen Discovers Reading and Escapes from Parliament. It's sweet. It's funny. It's short, so you can get it done. There's always a book like that floating around, these like books. Now, I will say I read The Uncommon Reader years ago, and it was – it's by the playwright. Anyway, you can find it by title. And it was one of those books. I read the book, and I said every bookseller, independent bookseller, can sell a ton of these books, but it's going to be really hard to sell anywhere else because you have to kind of explain it to them and things like that. There's a book this fall called The President's Hat by Antoine Lorraine. I don't think the politics lines up with objectivism very well. So just ignore this for a moment. But it's a French novel that is people put on François Mitterrand's hat. See, wrong politician. And they become better people, and the hat gets stolen and left places. And it
goes that's from fascinating. Character.
Oh, it's so much fun. So
somebody emailed about that, Daniel Dave in New Berlin. He also wanted you to talk about the publisher.
Oh, Gallic. Oh, Dave in New Berlin.
Yeah.
he's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful bookseller who I worked with a number of years.
Oh.
The book is Gallic. A publisher is Gallic. They are an English publisher who publishes French translations. And I believe, and I may have this fact wrong, but I believe they had something to do with The Elegance of the Hedgehog. So I was saying to everyone, this is The Uncommon Reader crossed with The Elegance of the Hedgehog, which was a wonderful book that infused a lot of philosophy, as does The President's Hat. So it's kind of a lark, and it's kind of philosophy, and it's kind of a culture. And people wind up loving it. It's very emotional, too. So Ellie and the Hedgehog was one of those books where people come in, like, hugging the book. I don't know if the movie did as well. But I'm just positive. The President's Hat, I'm going to give it to a bunch of people, and they'll all come back going, woo!
And as long as you mention inspiration, enter me and therapy dogs, because here's a book I do want to read. I don't know if you've read it. It was in the Times. This reviewed as a good summer read, A Dog Walks Into a Nursing Home by Sue Halperin. And it is started from acceptance. Dogs accept, you know, everything. That's one of the reasons you love dogs. They don't care how you look. They don't care how old you are, how sick you are. But it's supposed to be not syrupy, but just a funny book and a really nice book. A Dog Walks Into a Nursing Home.
Oh.
I love it. I'm
only going to talk about dog books now. I can do this.
You've got some dog books?
I can do this.
Can you wait just one second?
Yes.
You can do this? Do you have a dog?
I'm allergic.
Oh.
But they love me. They love me.
Oh, well, you need to get a hypoallergenic dog.
I know.
You
I'm
do.
Also at work all the time. I
know.
A little about
but you could bring
them.
Your dog to work.
We have a
you
pet.
Really could.
We have a pet dish outside, which I always make sure is filled with water.
Oh, Daniel, that's wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. No, you could have a dog at the place if you got a certain... We'll talk about that after
all
the
right.
show. Okay.
So let's work it out.
Our phone number, thank you, Lucas, for the call. Our number is 800-486-8655. We're talking about summer reads and then some. With Daniel Golden, who's on fire today. We also decided we're going to do this book club for Look Homeward Angel. Thomas Wolfe will do that sometime in September. So if you want to join us in our summer reading, that's one of the things on the list. 800-486-8655 is the number. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tomorrow during this time period, Bob Schieffer on Face the Nation ask this: what does it say about the state of our government and politics when serious people like Olympia Snow conclude that serving in the U.S. Senate is no longer worth their time and effort? It's a part that should worry all of us. Olympia Snow will be with us tomorrow. Her book is Fighting for Common Ground: How We Can Fix the Stalemate in Congress. All right. This is not just self-serving. I know many people love dogs, but you have dog recommendations.
I want to talk about a novel where the dog is a very important character, but I cannot go another second without mentioning that Maddie the Coonhound is coming. I don't know if – Maddie the Coonhound is an incredibly popular blog, and created a book spun out of it called Maddie on Things, which the author drove around the country with his dog posing the dog on stuff. And I met the dog at Winter Institute, which is another bookseller conference in February in Kansas City. And Maddie on the cross-country trip will be in Milwaukee on July 23rd.
Oh.
It's a drive, so I bet there are other stops in Wisconsin if you look them up. If you go to the Maddie the Coonhound blog. Haley, I have a lot of dog lovers in the store. I have a wonderful rec from Haley, who is, among other things, my dog. She decides which dog magnets we're bringing in, which breeds, and that kind of thing. So it's very important. And so that's exciting.
Good.
There's actually an interesting contract published book coming from – I don't if this is very geographically – Milwaukee side, but there's a woman who wrote a book called The Stolen Dog. We had a dog actually stolen from a yard about a couple blocks from us in plain sight, and the neighborhood and actually much of the city helped her chase down.
Mm.
So she's written a 200-page book about it, and she's going to be at the store on July 12th.
Mm.
That's her name's Trish O'Malley. And then the novel I was going to mention is The Dog Stars by Peter Heller. One of our favorite books of 2012, which is now in paperback. Peter Heller is an adventure writer, a men's journal outside. And he wrote this novel that kind of has the sense of excitement that his travel writing does. It is an apocalyptic novel. It is about a man and his dog, and the dog's a very important character. A lot of people have said it's written like Cormac McCarthy, only with heart. I think six incredibly enthusiastic booksellers in my store on it. Nick, we don't really do posters around town for our events because I feel like they're sort of litter, you know, like nobody pays attention. You just ignore it. But Nick is a wonderful artist and made this incredibly beautiful poster of the dog for the dog stores. And so I said, well, if it's this beautiful, people will want to put it up. And that's been the case. They're like, can I put it up? So that's been fun. That's the 19th. And it's we decided to sell the poster. So you have to be creative. We made cupcake. We had Marky Cupcake Company make cupcakes for one of the authors Michael Perry, Nick and Stacey, who was already mentioned, Stacey Williams, not Stacey Williams, who's my bookseller. So I don't know if all Stacey's are Stacey Williams, but I know three of them in Milwaukee, all spelled differently. And they did these amazing chalk drawings for Michael Perry most popular paperback fiction novel right now is by far, I know you think it's still 50 Shades of Grey, but it's actually Beautiful Runes by Jess Walter, just this amazing book about early 1960s Italy and modern Hollywood. It's kind of a genre smash up. And Stacey made this beautiful diorama of the Italian hotel adequate view, which is where part of it takes place, and the bluffs, all out of like things like crepe paper and streamers and little tiny plants and a used bottle of wine. I don't know where that came from. And it's just, you know, it's – you have to kind of – you were talking about how do you get these events. It's like you need four things. You need really great attendance, really great sales, really great media, and you need – but more than anything else, you need a really great experience for the author. So yes. We're always trying to figure out, like, how can this author
how to
be
make
happier?
That, yeah. Yeah. You know? How can everybody be happier?
How That's can everybody
it's
be happier?
It's a good
happier.
Way to live, Daniel. Barbara in Appleton is next. Hi, Barbara.
Hello. Oh, I'm so glad I got on.
Yay.
I love the show. I get books for my 93-year-old neighbor, and she just reads voluminously. She's housebound, and she likes Sandra Brown. I have gone through every single Sandra Brown book more than one time. Each time I bring her three Sandra Browns and two other books. So far, I have not been able to find another reader that she likes, another author that she likes. Is there anything you can recommend?
And she doesn't
for her?
Like the more romantic. Sandra Brown writes in a genre called sort of depends. She started out as pure romance, and then she got more into romantic suspense. And now her books often, I remember a few years ago, one of my reps selling in Sandra Brown, he's like, there is no romance in this book at all. I'm trying to think. I mean, she's, you know, some of the Nora Roberts, especially the urban fantasy ones that she writes under the other name, aren't too romancy. I'm worried that, you know, that her books might be a little more of the older school romance. I've got a few in my head, and I'm trying to think. Do you feel like do you think she likes? Tell me a little more. Does she like the romantic element, or does she just like thrillers?
But we're almost out of time, so if you could do it quickly, Barbara.
Well, she likes both parts.
She likes the romance in it too. I mean, you know, there's Mary Higgins Clark is not a bad try. Did you try Mary Higgins Clark?
93.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got a ton of books. They were considered. I mean, I know she was the grandmaster of the Mystery Writers of America, but they were definitely romantic suspense. There's always a little romance in it, but they're definitely a mystery thriller plot.
Thank
and they're
you.
Old school too.
Thanks, Barbara. Carl in Madison. Hi.
Yes, hello. I read to my son. We've been doing it since he was 2 years old, and his older brother was five, and it's just continued on, and now he's 15. He reads Aww. To himself, but we just in the evening, I just read a book, and we've read, a while back, Because of Winn-Dixie, more recently of Mice and Men, Peace Like a River.
Nice.
And I went to a bookseller and said, hey, I'd like something that could follow that up, and he recommended this book, The Road, which was just this apocalyptic, you know, very dark, very hard story. And I was wondering if there was something else that would be just really good writing, really wonderful story, characters that really come alive that might be a good father and son read.
I love this history. We have about 10 seconds.
Oh, I'm going to go back.
Or 15.
I'm going to say, I think the Dog Stars is a little more suited to a teen than The Road. Not as dark. Father, son, there's definitely a family bond in it. I think you can cross over.
Okay.
So I'm
going to
go with Dog. Great. I'm going to go with Dog Stars, Peter Heller.
All right.
Woo-hoo.
There you go. Well, thank you, Daniel. I think you need a nap. Thank you. We've just been covering so much territory. It's been a great hour. Thank you, as always.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Oh, anytime. And remember that we're going to do this little book club now. Daniel and I are reading Look Homeward, Angel. We hope you will, too.
In September.
Thomas Wolfe. And in September, we'll talk about it.
Excellent.
Okay? That'll be fun. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and KP Whaley for producing this program. Really good show tomorrow. We'll talk about all those extinct animals. Maybe they can come back, like the woolly mammoth and the dinosaurs. And that's kind of weird to think about. What do you think about it? We'll talk to scientists who might be able to do that, and Olympia Snow on tomorrow. Great conversations ahead. Thanks for listening.